Good afternoon, Bengals fans, and welcome to our special fan forum with visit with Commissioner, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, first and foremost, and then later on we'll have Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis will join in as well. And it's a unique opportunity, there's no question about it, for Bengals fans to speak directly to the commissioner. And I want to thank him for carving time out of his busy schedule and joining us today. It's very timely. The NFL draft just happened a couple of weeks ago, obviously, and certainly the status of the new collective bargaining agreement is on the forefront of everybody's minds at this point in time. Roger Goodell has been commissioner since 2006, and he's been connected to the NFL for about 30 years in a variety of roles. He's uniquely qualified to lead the National Football League, and in my personal opinion, he's the best commissioner in all of sports, and he's a great listener, and he's a very, very smart man, obviously, and we've got a chance to reach out with him. And Mr. Commissioner, I guess, first of all, maybe an update as to, you know, people are hearing about about decertifying unions and lockouts and stays. Can you basically inform everybody the status of the labor negotiations or what the status is of the work stoppage at this time? And callers, I want to make sure that you realize hit *3, and then you can join in and ask a question of the commissioner. But Mr. Commissioner, if you could just update us on the labor perspective to start off, that'd be great, sir.
Sure, Dave, and let me say thanks to you for being on the call and all of the season ticket holders and the Bengals organization from Mike Brown on down to for having this. It's great for me to have the opportunity to be able to talk directly to the fans also. As far as the labor situation, we had 17 days of mediation back in February into early March as the contract expired. At that point in time, the Players Association, the union, as you pointed out, decided to decertify and pursue a litigation strategy. That essentially ended negotiations for all purposes while they pursued this litigation strategy. That is still ongoing, unfortunately. There's a hearing on June 3rd in front of the Court of Appeals. That will be here then, and they will make a decision within their time frame shortly thereafter. In the meantime, the lockout's in place. We do have a mediation session early next week within the court of Minnesota, Minneapolis, and we will continue to do that. But I would tell you, Dave, that not enough negotiation is going on. It's more litigation right now, and I think that's unfortunate. I think we need to get back to negotiations because that's how this will get settled.
No question about it. I agree with that. I guess as a follow-up, you were obviously intimately involved in the conversations that were taking place before the decision to go to the litigation avenue. In your mind, what is the crux of the problem? Are there a couple of things? Is it so complicated that it's at multi-levels now that's the stumbling block? What is the biggest hurdle at this point in time between the Players Association and the owners?
Well, Dave, I participated in all 17 days of that mediation, and as we came to the close to the 17th day, we put the proposal in writing of all of the things that were discussed over that period of time that we felt were proposals that the ownership was prepared to make on a variety of different subjects, everything from player health and safety to improvements to retired players, including a 60% increase in their pensions, to discussions of a new rookie compensation system, to the economics of the game. Very specifically, there was a proposal that had the player compensation increasing 15% over the next 3 years. So the proposal was made very clearly. The only response we got at the end of the day was it's not good enough on the economics and we're pursuing a different strategy. And that was how it ended. So I assume that the economics are the key issue that are separating us.
Mr. Commissioner, we have our first caller here, and again, thank you for carving time for us here. Alberta Davis is going to lead us off here, and Alberta's been a season ticket holder here with the Cincinnati Bengals for 3 years. Good afternoon, Alberta, and you lead us off with the commissioner, please.
Yes, Commissioner, I have a question. Just how realistic do you think that we're going to have a season this year?
Well, Alberta, I'm very positive because I think once we get back to negotiations, we can settle our differences. There is an opportunity here for us to continue to grow this game, address the issues, some of which I just identified in Dave's previous question. But the sooner we get back to the negotiating table, the more we can address those issues in a timely fashion and get to what everybody wants, which is football. In the meantime, we've done everything to prepare for the 2011. We had the draft, obviously. We've put out our schedule for the playing schedule for this year, and we're continuing to prepare for a full season, and that is our objective.
Next up, Antonio Nelson, longtime season ticket holder. You're on with the commissioner. What's on your mind, sir?
How you doing, Roger?
Good, Antonio. How you doing?
I'm good. Quick question for you. For us season ticket holders, have had their season tickets for a couple years now. We got into the habit of tailgating, and we've got crews down here, this, that, and the other. What do you say to us season ticket holders who are fed up with this little dispute going on between the owners and the players right now, and have decided that if there is no NFL season in 2011, that we're going to give up our season tickets?
Well, Antonio, certainly I understand your frustration, and I share your frustration. I had the opportunity last season actually to be in tailgating with some of the fans in Cincinnati last fall, and it was a great experience because I got to talk to a lot of the fans, hear from them, take questions, and also hear their comments. But I understand the frustration of this labor dispute, what it does to fans' interest in the game, what it does to their overall interest in the NFL. And that's why I keep telling the Players Association that it's really important for us to get this resolved now, take this uncertainty. People enjoy the NFL because it's a release from the enjoyment they have and from some of the other work issues that they have themselves. And it's an opportunity to get away from that and to enjoy football and enjoy their family and friends. And we have to fill that. That's our goal. That's our objective. We have to fulfill that objective for our fans. So I understand your frustration. I hope we can get this resolved. But I can tell you that I know from our standpoint that what we're trying to do is get an agreement here that will work, continue to produce a great game of football, a competitive game of football, where every team has a chance to win. And that's what you've come to expect from the NFL, and that's what we want to deliver on.
Next up, Mr. Commissioner, is Brad Ginter, who's been a season ticket holder since he's 10 years old. He's out of Fort Thomas, Kentucky. What's up, Brad?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, Commissioner Goodell, I had a question about the schedule. It seemed like at the very beginning, they were pushing towards the 18-game schedule, and you heard a lot about that being a high priority with the negotiations. And it seems like recently maybe maybe coming off the table in order to get something accomplished. I just want to know where that stood with the players and the owners in the negotiations.
Well, Brad, it's a great question. In the March 11th proposal, we agreed to a number of changes in what we consider the player health and safety issues. And I think those are legitimate. I'm sympathetic to those issues, and we tried to address those in a reasonable fashion by shortening and limiting the kind of contacts in the off season and training camp and even into the regular season. We'll continue to look at that to make sure we're doing that in a responsible fashion. What we also agreed to do, though, is implement those changes immediately so that we could see the impact on the player health and safety, and then jointly make a decision within a couple of years about the idea of instituting an 18-game schedule. I think it addresses a lot of issues I've heard from fans about the quality of the preseason and that they want greater value, that they don't want to see preseason games that are non-competitive and don't see the players that they want to see. And it's something that I've heard loud and clear from fans, and we're going to continue to pursue that, but we did want to address in a responsible fashion the health and safety issues.
Well, Mr. Commissioner, up next, we've got a gentleman that's got an interesting question from my perspective. I'm going to be interested in this one. David Gammons, been a season ticket holder for 4 years. What's on your mind, David?
First off, Mr. Commissioner, thanks for taking the time to sit with us today. As a fan, obviously, we want football, period. And but my question is, I watched a documentary that really concerned me, and I think most of my facts are correct here, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. But the responsibility of the retired professional football player is the responsibility now of the Players Association. And my question is that back on the table as to who is responsible for the player, the retired player? And we have the excess money. That's the argument. I understand that. In layman's terms, it sounds simple. Split the money, you quarter it up, a quarter to the owners, a quarter to the players, and half to the retired players. They're the pioneers of the game. They're the reason we're talking about this. I mean, I know it sounds simple. I know it's not that simple, but what is your take, and is that back on the table? Who shares that responsibility?
Well, Dave, I think the first thing is it's a shared responsibility of all of us. No one has greater respect for retired players than I do. When I've gone around and talked to retired players, the number one issue is they wanted an independent organization that was going to represent their interests, that could identify the priorities for the retired players, whether they be medical issues, whether they be pension issues, whether they be career transition issues. And we've continued through the ownership efforts to make improvements to those benefits. As an example, the owners implemented a program which we call the joint replacement program, where any player that needs a joint replacement can go to one of 13 hospitals across the country, outstanding hospitals, outstanding doctors, and get VIP treatment. And if they can't afford to do it, we will pay for it. Cardiovascular testing and screening, we've done that to make sure that it addresses what is essentially the great players' population, their needs that they have. So I think it's important for all of us to do more for our retired players, as you point out. The NFL alumni has been created and is under new leadership with George Martin. He's doing an outstanding job of pushing the agenda of the retired players. The owners have met with George four or five times on a formal basis collectively, and I've met with George several times in between there. They want an independent organization that addresses their issues, that can work with both the Players Association and the NFL and their clubs, and I welcome that. I think it's a good thing for us to do, and we all have to make improvements to the retired player benefits.
A reminder, all fans on our fan forum conference call here, *3, push *3 to pose a question to the commissioner. And next up is Raphael, who did exactly that, Raphael Warren, and season ticket holder for 5 years. What's on your mind, sir?
Hi, thanks for taking the call, and I really appreciate you guys doing this. I've got a question. I've heard that there's a possibility that in the absence of a settlement, teams might feel, I'd call minor league players or an inferior product. And so the question I have is, I mean, why should, as a season ticket holder, I mean, why should we tolerate this type of thing?
Well, Raphael, we have not had, I think you're referring to replacement players. We have not had any discussions about implementing a system with replacement players. Our focus has been entirely on getting agreement with the NFL players and continuing to grow the great game. So from our standpoint, we want to do everything to improve the quality of what you're getting, to improve the value of what you're getting with the best players, and that's been our focus.
Next up, David, calling from West Virginia, been a season ticket holder for 11 years. We certainly appreciate that loyalty, David. What do you think?
Well, my question is, I'm certainly a Bengal fan, but I'm also a West Virginia University fan, a longtime collegiate fan. And this situation has put the draftee and the free agents in a difficult position, not getting the playbooks, not having workouts. What consideration are they getting?
Well, David, the most important thing when you're going to something like this is that all 32 clubs are operating on the same rules. As a league, the competitive integrity is critical, and all 32 are operating under the same rules. There is was a brief, very brief period a couple of weeks ago when we had a court ruling where the facilities were opened up. That was closed down again by another court decision shortly thereafter. And the reality of it is we needed to get rid of this uncertainty so we can get back to getting those young players where they understand the systems they're coming into. They can begin getting the coaching. And the sooner we can get to that agreement, the sooner that will happen.
Let me ask you a follow-up to that question, Mr. Commissioner. If there's the collective bargaining agreement, I mean, the draft, the actual, you know, fiber of the league hangs in the balance. I mean, could there be no draft depending on what happens with this collective bargaining agreement?
Well, Dave, you raised one of the points that's most concerning to me by this antitrust litigation. When the players moved away from their unionization, at least in theory, and moved to a litigation approach, they sued us under antitrust laws. Essentially, what that does is attack virtually every aspect of the great game that we have. That can be the salary cap itself. It can be free agency. It can be the draft. And as you point out, the draft is something that I think has led to the competitive balance of the league. It's used in every other league. I think it's integral to having a competitive league. And they've attacked that as being anti-competitive and illegal. That troubles me as a commissioner of this league and where this league is going and someone that loves this game more than anybody. I'm going to protect this game as best I can, and that kind of attack is what troubles me under the antitrust world that the Players Association's attorneys are presenting for us, and I think it should concern every fan.
Jack Thier, season ticket holder since the franchise inception, 1968. What are you thinking, Jack?
You know, I'm aging very well, I guess.
better than the alternative, Jack.
Yeah, you got that right. Commissioner, my question has to do with the funds that the players are getting now from the profits. Other than an economic turndown for the league and reduced profits and all of that, do the players, in accepting a percentage, a high percentage, I might add, of the profits, do they take any of the other economic risk that the owners face?
No, they do not take the economic risk. The way the system works right now, it's not a high percentage of profits, it's a high percentage of revenues. And that's one of the issues that the clubs are raising, is that while those revenues continue to increase, unfortunately, they're not increasing as fast as our cost, including player costs, but their costs in building new stadiums, maintaining those stadiums, making capital improvements to those stadiums, continuing to have great facilities for the clubs. All of those things come with a higher cost, and that is something that we want to have recognized in the system. With those higher costs, instead of taking it completely as a percentage of revenue, there should be a recognition of those costs before the sharing of revenue. And that's one of the systems that was proposed and part of the discussion we're having with the Players Association. And it's something we've got to get addressed.
Speaking of revenues and costs, let's go to John Powell, season ticket holder also since 1968, since the very beginning. What's your question for the commission? Remember, anybody that wants to pose a question, a unique opportunity to visit with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, star 3, punch up star 3, you're on board. What's on your mind, John?
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Love the game. Really enjoy it. The question I have is, in all labor negotiations and agreements, usually there's price increase either for the labor or somewhere along the line, and I'm trying to figure out how the NFL plans to prevent any further the brunt of all this coming into the ticket holder and the prices going up and exceeding to the point where no one can go to a game anymore. So that's my question.
John, it's a great question, and it is one of the things we're trying to obviously address here by controlling our cost. That gives us a better ability to manage our business. And I think we have to recognize what our fans are going through, either season ticket holders or other fans that that want to either attend our event or participate in our event in some fashion. the economy has taken an impact on people, and it continues to have that impact. The uncertainty out there and the rising cost of gasoline, I mean, all the things that you are dealing with and every other fan are dealing with are realities. And we cannot continue to shift the cost, our increased cost, to the fans, to the season ticket holders. And that's something that we're trying to address here by controlling our costs, by getting a better control over the way we manage our business. We hopefully can do a better job of making sure that we continue to make our game affordable for all fans.
Chuck Bostic up in Dayton, Ohio, season ticket holder for 6 years. You're on the line with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the call. And my question is, based on and going right off your last statement, in a bad economy, when season ticket holder retention should be a key of all owners and players, how about giving us a price break, possibly on, say, like preseason games for your loyal ticket holder, season ticket holders? Because basically the preseason games, I know you're going through players that you've drafted and other players to see who you're going to keep and who's going to make the roster and who isn't. But, you know, it's charging the same price for those tickets to season ticket holders as you do for regular season games. That's kind of tough on the fans, especially, like you say, in these economic times. So my suggestion would be to, as a fan appreciation, number one, get these negotiations settled so that we have football. And number two, how about addressing something like that for fan appreciation for helping the season ticket holders out on something like the preseason games?
Well, Chuck, you make several good points in there. One is the recognition and the appreciation for our fans, which I think is critically important. And the longer this goes, more impact it has on our fans, and we understand that. And we are talking about different ways of trying to address that, because I think we realize what it's doing to our fans, what it's doing to our business partners, and that's going to have a long-term impact on the game. It's going to have a long-term impact on the clubs. It's going to have a long-term impact on the players. So everything from what you're talking about, we spend a lot of time on preseason games about can we increase the number of comp tickets so that we can get various groups into our stadiums on either reduced price level or not. I believe it's close to three-quarters of our teams this year did not raise ticket prices because of the uncertainty going into the season. So I think clubs are out working, trying to be sensitive to what's going on in the economy, sensitive to what's going on in this labor dispute, and making sure that we make responsible decisions going forward. So we'll continue to evaluate all those and hopefully implement some of those, Chuck.
Let me ask a follow-up to Chuck's question, Mr. Commissioner. What's the minimum amount of time in your mind needed for teams to get the coaches and players ready to play between, you know, the end of the labor situation and the start of the season?
You know, Dave, it's a question that we have to really dig into with our football people. I think the longer it goes, likely the longer it will take. You know, you played the game. The longer you're away from it, the more likely you're going to take more time to get back into what right. We would consider shape to play the game. I think our players do a great job of staying in shape, but football shape is different than just you know, physical conditioning. So we haven't come down to a specific amount of time, but we are still hoping that we can continue on with our full preseason, including training camps, the full preseason schedule and the regular season schedule. If we are unsuccessful in getting an agreement, we're going to have to adapt that, and we'll have to have sufficient time in there for players to get in shape and to make sure that we're not putting at them a risk for injuries once we do return to play.
Paul Seifert, you're up next with Commissioner Roger Goodell. What's happening?
Oh, not much. I just want to understand what this decertification of the union really means. It seems like it's a thing they use to their advantage to either jump in to have somebody represent them or not.
No, Paul. What it means to me is they're abandoning their union position and they're abandoning their collective bargaining rights. And what it means if you're fully doing this is that it's permanent and irreversible. This happened, you may recall, in the late 80s and early 90s, the exact same circumstance. They decertified, sued us in the antitrust court. So it obviously wasn't permanent and irreversible back in the early 90s. I don't think it's permanent and irreversible now. That's why we don't think it's a sincere decertification. We think this is simply an attempt to get leverage in a negotiation, put the game at risk, and I think we should all get back to the negotiating table and do what is clearly needed here, which is to get an agreement.
Up next, a good friend of mine, Joe Benza, season ticket holder for 33 years. Joe, you're on with the commissioner.
Hi, Commissioner. First, I wanted to congratulate you on your press release today for Charities.MD. That sort of leads into my question. There are guys like you and Anthony and Marvin and a lot of great football players of the past that are, I think have been overlooked for all the good things that you guys do. I notice a lot of the current players are not doing as much as some of the older players that have done for this town with a lot less money that they made back in the day, and which I think I'd like to see rectified with this new bargaining agreement. But my question to the commissioner is, you've been negotiating with the players for a long time. What do you see as the biggest economic difference? You mentioned a 15% increase in the economics. What are they asking for if you're offering 15? What is their number? I mean, I've never heard that.
Well, they're looking for a share of the overall revenue, and they don't want to change their share in revenue, despite the fact they acknowledge that our costs have continued to escalate, not just player costs, but costs of operations, which they've acknowledged, and we've demonstrated to them in financial disclosure. So clearly they understand that the economics of the NFL have changed over the last 10 or 15 years, but they don't want their percentage share to change. And I think that's unrealistic in this kind of an environment where it takes a significant investment to create revenue, whether it's a new stadium or other new business opportunities. You have to invest to do that, and you've got to encourage owners or clubs, in this case, to make those investments, because that's how the game's going to continue to grow. I think that's how we've been able to grow the game, particularly over the last 5 or 6 years, by making smart investments. And hopefully we can get back to that. But I do want to also point out, you know, I think our players do great things. You mentioned some of the former players, Anthony Munoz, who was here for the draft. I think what he does with his foundation is extraordinary. And there's so many players that do that, both active and retired. And I'm proud of what our players do. And we want to continue to do things to encourage them to make a difference in their communities. And I think they do.
I agree with you, sir. Mel Larson, season ticket holder since 1980. You're on with Commissioner Roger Goodell.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, and appreciate the job you're doing, Commissioner. I'm a fiscal conservative, and I look at the overall picture as much as I can and see that, in my view, the taxpaying public as well as ticket holders, season ticket holders, are in essence shareholders in the team by providing facility, by providing environment. And I have trouble understanding why the management will not reveal, not show transparency to back up their arguments as far as dealing with the players' union. I think there's many related things going on here that we're seeing, like in Wisconsin and Ohio, as far as dealing with public unions. And maybe it's a stretch, but it seems like you're getting into that area.
Well, no, Mel, you're really not. I think you raised several good points in there. First, let me go back to your transparency point, because it's a good one. I think despite what other unions get, the NFLPA gets every single penny of our revenue. They are able to audit that. They know exactly where it's generated, how it's generated. They also get, obviously, they have a very clear understanding to the penny of our player costs. And we have offered and have demonstrated to them and shown them the increased costs that we've had. in operations. So I think there's a significant amount of transparency that exists, and I think they understand what's wrong with the business model. They clearly do. As it relates to what's going on in the rest of parts of the country, you know, you see what's going on in Wisconsin. You see what's going on with their fight to hold on to collective bargaining rights. Well, this union decided to abandon those collective bargaining rights. And that's a choice that they have to make if that's what they're sincere in doing. I'm not so sure if this isn't just an attempt, though, to get leverage in a negotiation. And that's what troubles me, because clearly it's not going to benefit the majority of players if we don't have a collective bargaining agreement. And that's what we should do. We should get down and settle the issues and continue to build this great game.
Mr. Commissioner, I know you've got contingency plans. You know, you could move the Super Bowl. I mean, there are some things that could happen to make sure that the season remains intact. But is there a drop dead date where the league, you know, could potentially cancel the season if no agreements reached between owners and players?
You know, Dave, we haven't gotten to that point, and I hope we never get to that point.
Right.
It would be a shame. We are continuing to make all our plans to play a full 2011 schedule, and that's our intention. So, you know, we've got to get back to the table and make sure that that occurs. If we're, you know, unsuccessful in getting to that point, then we'll have to make those decisions as we go. But to date, I do not have any specific time period other than getting this done sooner rather than later.
Final question to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, and we certainly do appreciate you carving the time that you have. It's an outstanding effort on your part. Deborah from Lima, what's your question for the commissioner? You're a final questioner.
Yeah, it's actually her son, but how you doing, Mr. Commissioner?
What's your name, then? If Deborah's son.
Oh, my name's Caleb.
Oh, Caleb,
yeah.
Sorry.
Well, my mom's at work, but I was just going to – how do you feel, like, how you're being portrayed by the media? It seems like, you know, ESPN and them are kind of looking at you as the bad guy, and then you go to the draft and get booed. How do you feel about that?
You know what? It's part of the job. I understand the frustration. I think one of the fans said it earlier on this call. People just want football, and anybody who gets between them and football is going to be seen as in that light and as an obstructionist. And I want football more than anybody. We've also got to make sure, though, that we have a sustainable business model and we can continue to grow the game and we can continue to do the things that have created the competitive kind of football we have. But you know, you can't be commissioner of any sport without being subject to criticism. I understand that, and that's part of the job. And I'll continue to do the best I can and make sure that every day I leave in this office that I'm working hard to make sure the game of football continues to be successful for the long term, not just the short term.
Commissioner, once again, sir, appreciate your thoughts, your candid answers to all these questions. And just Coach Lewis is on deck here. Just thought, wondered if you had any final statement or if you're content with what was discussed. If you have a final statement for the fans listening, feel free, sir.
Well, Dave, I guess the first thing I do is thank all the fans for their support and their interest. I know Mike Brown and the Bengals organization appreciate it, and certainly we do at the NFL. At the end, we're all NFL fans and want this great game to continue. So thank you. I know it's a frustrating period, but I appreciate hearing from you. And I hope I was a decent warm-up act for Coach Lewis.
Appreciate it very much. Thanks. Thanks once again. And I know the fans around the country, I know you've done this at quite a few of the NFL cities, and I know it's greatly appreciated. And communication is always good, and we certainly do appreciate yours, sir.
My appreciation to you, Dave. Thank you.
All righty. Have a great one.
You bet.
Thanks for your time. And we're going to be joined right now by Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis, who's entering his ninth season as head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. He's been NFL Coach of the Year. And runner-up another time. He's had a good run here in Cincinnati. I think this is a record, Coach, if I'm not mistaken, a nine-year run at the head coaching position. And welcome to Fan Forum today. And I guess coaches are in a very, very – it's almost like football purgatory, I guess, for you, Coach. I mean, you're stuck in the middle. I mean, you know, the players, the owners have their disagreement, and you guys just kind of wait in the on the perimeter and see how the whole thing unfolds. It's got to be frustrating. Well, it's, we just have to be prepared that whenever it's settled, Dave, that we're ready to go. And we've had a lot of different contingency plans in place as far as being revved up and ready. And then, you know, we have to keep adjusting as they go. But that's part of it. We understood that there was going to be, you know, this was going to be the way it could possibly unfold this year. And thus far, it's kind of been that way.
How about a quick assessment before we start to get to our callers who are stacking up here on our fan forum conference call regarding the draft? I mean, I would think you have to be pretty pleased overall, internally and externally. Everything I hear is pretty positive with respect to the Bengals draft.
Well, we feel good about it. We always feel good about it. And really, the evaluation of an outside party really doesn't help much at
right.
any point with that. But we feel great about things. We're anxious to get the opportunity to have these new young guys and teach them our schemes as quick as we can.
Let's get out to the fans. Brian Clark, you're going to be our leadoff hitter here with Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis, season ticket holder for a couple of seasons. What's on your mind with Coach Lewis?
Hello?
Yes, Brian, you're up.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Lewis, I'd just like to know, we go get some discipline back in that team. Just I know we got a lot of football players that seem like it seems to be that's their second job, not their first job, and I thought when they signed that contract, that is their number one job. And I'm talking about reality TV shows and stuff like that, and it seems like that's a distraction from the game.
Well, I don't think it's a discipline thing at all, but I appreciate your comments. In an NFL contract, no, we don't have any thing that bars them from doing what they want to do in their time, in their off-season time and so forth. There's certain stipulations and so forth during the season and so forth. But a guy is, this is a job, and there's no thing that can be put in a contract based on collective bargaining, as we know as we're going through right now, that keeps a guy from being able to do those things. Hopefully we will be in a situation where we're further away from people, you know, that we hope they want. Their passion is football, and that's very, very important. And I think the people that you speak of, that's why you follow them, because their passion was football.
Next up, Ben Ewing, season ticket holder since the 80s, calling from Pomeroy, Ohio. What do you think?
Hey, how you doing, Coach Lewis?
Good. How are you today?
Great. My question is, with the collective bargaining agreement going on, you know, what's the rules as far as the player-coach interaction? And just kind of give me a brief summary on that, how that works.
Well, we're not allowed to have contact other than just if you bump into a guy socially. You know, whether you're in the street, the mall, store, whatever it may be. Other than that, when we are in what is termed from the league office in a lockout situation, as we have been for most of the offseason thus far.
All right, next up is Dan Foster, season ticket holder for 11 seasons. Dan, your question for Coach head coach Marvin Lewis. And remember, all you callers out there, punch *3 if you want to pose a question to Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis.
Hey, Coach Lewis, how you doing?
Hi, how are you today?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to ask if you guys got an offer that you couldn't refuse to trade Carson. Would you be willing to do that? I know his stance is he's retiring, but would you be willing to trade him if you got a good offer?
Well, we're not even going to, you know, to entertain that thing publicly. And, you know, the guys sign contracts just like the NFL is a lot different than other things. You sign a contract and you're basically bound to the length of that contract, and it's the team's discretion and so forth. They make the football team year after year. You have to make the football team year after year, and that's the part of the competitiveness of professional athletics. And that's why people come out to the games and so forth, because you have this kind of competition. And, you know, guys have opportunity to retire and walk away. And right now that's in the situation where Carson is at this point.
Next up, Justin Brown, 2-year season ticket holder. What are you thinking?
Hi, Coach Lewis. How you doing today?
Good, Justin.
My question is, did the new NFL the draftees, did they get the chance to get in and get the playbook before the lockout was reinstated?
Well, we had some, you know, it depended on when they got here to Cincinnati, and so we were, you know, it got instituted back again on Friday, late Friday night, you know, basically whenever people got
the interpretation of what was sent out, and but not all of them were able to do that.
I guess a follow-up question in that regard, Coach. Jackson from Westchester, a five-year season ticket holder. What's your question in that regard, Jackson?
Hi, Marvin. I wanted to ask you, right before the draft, they lifted the lockout, and then they placed back in. And it's my understanding that maybe A.J. Green got a playbook, and you weren't allowed to give, like, the rest of them the playbook?
Well, it was depending on when they were in our presence. And, you know, we obviously picked Andy Dalton prior to the lockout being put back in place on Friday afternoon, so with whatever time we picked. So, but again, there was, unfortunately, it did not, you know, we aren't out and doing football like we were at one point on, basically on Friday and, part of the day, Thursday and Friday, where we were actually had an opportunity to visit with our current players and A.J., who we drafted, obviously, on Thursday and so forth, and we got him in here to Cincinnati. So, and then things changed late on Friday evening.
Jackson, do you have a follow-up question for Coach Lewis?
Yeah, well, yeah, I was wondering, do they still have the playbook, and are they allowed to share that playbook, or did they have to sign a confidentiality?
Share it with, who would you share it with, Jackson?
Well, with the players that that weren't able to receive one.
Oh, yeah, they can do whatever, yeah, you know, they're our player now, so they can obviously help our own players, and I'm sure if something would stay out for very long that those guys will get organized and so forth that way. But, again, those kind of things, aren't things that we just have to wait. Everybody's kind of in the same situation, and as soon as we get an opportunity, we're going to get back and do football just as quick as we can.
Linda Leslie, season ticket holder for 11 years, have an interesting question for Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis. What's up?
Well, my original question was for Goodell, but I'll just sort of get your take on it. There was an article recently on, I believe it's ESPN or one of those sports web, that several of the college free agent players' agents have been contacted by teams under the table. How do you feel about that, and how does that, this lockout, what's going to happen to people that don't pay attention to the rules that the NFL has set out?
Well, that'll come up with the NFL and have to go through the process and go that way. Hopefully, people, that's a competitive advantage, which is one of the things that people within the NFL don't appreciate when that and those things are violated.
Jim Kellner, you have a question for Coach Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis. Fire away.
Yes, my question's about the proposed 18-game season. And specifically, if they do go forward with an 18-game season, will the additional games occur in January, or will they actually use the August games that used to be preseason games?
Actually, they were going to, the proposed schedule had those games occurring in January. And the season still would start after Labor Day, and they would go further. And so literally we would be playing the Super Bowl on the President's Day weekend, was the proposed schedule, how it would work most of the time.
Okay, let's see, Robert, Sean from Pataskia, hopefully I'm saying that right, 2003 Hall of Fame fan, longtime season ticket holder. He's got a question for Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis. Get after it.
Good afternoon, fellas. It's actually Pataskia. You were close.
All right.
I just want to know, you touched on it just a little bit in the question before, but do you have a game plan for if there is a shortened season and when the lockout gets lifted, what you will do with, say, the draft picks? Is there going to be an extra window to find to get them in to get a training camp, or is it all just business as normal now and just hope that the season runs the way that it's supposed to?
Well, we're already beyond the point where we would have had extra time for the young players. We're getting now into the point where the players, they all would be allowed to be here. The certain restrictions we had regarding colleges and their graduation and so forth, that would be coming up next week. So we'd be beyond that already. And so we would just take whatever time is available and benefit from it as quickly as we could and get the guys in here as quick as we could and go from there.
Remember, if you have a question for Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis, punch star 3, and you can pose that question, just like Michael did. Michael, what do you have for Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis?
Yeah, hi, Marvin. Nice to talk to you. I've been here season ticket holder as long as you've been here, and I've enjoyed every year of the season. I just want to ask, based on how the draft went, which I thought went very well, what other areas of the team do you see you need improvement from the free agency market?
Well, there's still some areas that, we would continue like to address. And, we have some of our current players that, depending on what rules we would go forward under, might or might not be free agents. So we need to address our own people first. And then from that point on, we would kind of branch out and look at other players at other spots.
Let's see here. Who would be next? Gary. You're up next with Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis. What's on your mind, sir?
Yes. Hi, Marvin Lewis. How are you?
Good, Gary.
My question is, I know we've decided that we're not going to trade Carson Palmer, and he's decided to retire. But what if he changes his mind and he comes back to play? And then we've got two very high-salary quarterbacks and him and Andy Dalton. Could we afford to keep them both on the roster, or what would we do at that point?
Well, again, it depends under the rules we're under, and I don't know, you've got a lot of speculation involved in your question, so we're going to speculate on your speculation. So, yeah, we would be fine to go forward whichever way we wanted to go forward, and if Carson chooses to still be a member of this football team, he'd be the starting quarterback, and we'd go forward and go from there. And then we would groom Andy Dalton to be the quarterback of the future.
Jeremiah has a football question for you as well, Coach. What's up, Jeremiah?
Hey, what's up?
I'm good. How are you today?
Pretty good, Coach Lewis. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's the chances of the interesting one, 85, being back in the Hornets next year?
Pardon me?
On a scale of 1 to 10, what's the chance of Chad returning next year?
Well, I don't, that's not a question that I'm going to answer at any point here like that. Chad's a member of this football team. He's got a contract and so forth, and that's the way it goes. We're not in the position to do anything else, and so that's where it stands.
All right, let's see. Up next is Sean Townsley calling from Batesville, Indiana. And he's a first-year season ticket holder. What are you doing, Sean? What's happening?
Hey, Lab, how you doing?
Good, are you?
And Coach Lewis, great to be on this call. I just wanted to get your take on Coach Gruden joining the team as the offensive coordinator. A lot of people, I think, really excited to have his energy and approach and enthusiasm to the game. Just wanted to get your take on what it's like having him in the building, and once you finally do get to work, your take on that.
Well, we're real excited about with the addition of bringing Jay here, and the revisions we'll make offensively, and as soon as we get an opportunity to get out and get working, we'll be able to kind of start moving forward in a good direction and really put some the work in that way. So, Jay's anxious. He's anxious to have an opportunity to start meeting and get going with our players and us to get start doing football on the field.
And, Coach, as a follow-up to that, can you speak to new assistant Coach Urban as well at the wide receiver position, what he brings to the table?
Yeah, and also, we added James Urban, and when as Mike Shepard went on to be the quarterback coach at Jacksonville, and James comes from us from the Philadelphia Eagles, where they run a very similar offensive system. The nomenclature, word, verbiage is very similar, and so he comes here with a wealth of knowledge, having been the quarterback coach there the last 2 years. Previous to that, been the offensive assistant, and so he kind of knows the offense from the ground up, soup to nuts, and so we're looking forward to it.
Okay, we've got Leslie Westerman from Shepherdsville, Kentucky. You've been a season ticket holder since 2003. What are you thinking, Leslie?
Well, Dave, I wanted to thank Marvin because he's the reason I'm a season ticket holder now. And thank you a lot for your work with the team, Coach Lewis.
Thank you.
I had a specific question about whether there was any truth to the rumor that John Gruden was working with the Bengals quarterbacks.
No, there's no truth to that rumor. But there's certain things that through different things have been put in place of what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do.
Pete, you're up next, and if you want to pose a question to Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis, punch up *3. You can join the fray. Pete, you're up.
Hi, Coach Lewis.
Hi.
I was very happy that you came back as our head coach, but I thought that your return would be with potentially more control, and the perception, and whether the perception is reality. The perception with the fans is that Mr. Brown pulls the strings, and the press conference that was had didn't show that there was, at least to the public, that there were changes that you may have wanted to be more successful as you continue down the path.
Well, you're talking about speculating again. People speculate on things,
you're absolutely correct.
So I'm fine with the way things are here, and I agree to continue as the head football coach here. And I'm excited about what we're doing and our direction and our future. We've taken some great positive steps in every area this offseason, every chance we could. And we'll continue to make those positive steps and move forward. And we want to get back to being the AFC North Division champs and from there move on into playoffs, win playoff games, and move on and be world champions. So that's our goal, and I'm happy with our direction thus far.
Okay, we'd like to invite everybody that's listening to participate in the poll question today. How would you grade this year's Cincinnati Bengals draft? It's very simple, A, B, or C. Key number one for A, key number two for B, key number three for C. Grade the Bengals draft, and we've got a couple more time for a few more questions. Kenneth, you're up next for us, and your question, or you are a season ticket holder since 1968, since the franchise started. You've been with us, Kenneth. Hey, thank you for your support, and what do you have in your mind?
Well, thank you. I've seen a lot of players come and go over the years, and I was wondering if Coach Lewis could give me some comparisons, what he sees in A.J. Green and Andy Dalton.
I'm not going to that would be unfair, I think, in both cases. To do that, but both of them have an opportunity to be. AJ Green has the first chance to be the best AJ Green ever in the history of the National Football League, and he'll be a fine, productive receiver. He does a great job. His ability to catch balls, outstanding hands, a big range. He's been a guy who has done a nice job of blocking as a wideout in their offense there at Georgia, and he's ran well with the ball. Their quick screens and the things they do. He's made big catches down the field. He's run the across routes, the vertical routes. So he's done everything that you want a receiver to do to come in the National Football League. We really feel like he'll have a chance to fit well into our offense and be able to make a great impact early. Andy has great anticipation on the throws, great core strength, gets the ball in and out of his hand. And as he becomes more and more comfortable with the things that we'll do, he'll play faster and faster and faster. And that's why we feel so fortunate to draft both these young guys.
Let's see. We've got Mike Fitzharris, season ticket holder for 30 years. You're our final question for Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis today on the Fan Forum phone call. Take it away, sir.
Coach Lewis, do you know or does the Brown family know why Carson doesn't want to play football any longer for the Bengals, and could you share that with us?
No. I've talked with Carson a number of times, and he just feels like his time here is over, and he feels the best thing for him is to go and retire and be with his family. So that's that's a decision that any player can make, and the good thing for us is this decision was made early on. And this decision was made in January, so we've been able to plan accordingly and go forward accordingly. And so from that, we've benefited.
Coach, this is uncharted waters, obviously. I mean, it's been a crazy, crazy off season. A little bit of normalcy with the draft, you know, players, you know, were able to come in for a day and then they weren't. All that goes along with it, all these variables. I guess your expectations, you know, for this upcoming season, it's so difficult. Where are you with respect to your expectations?
Well, I expect to begin be champions of the AFC North. That's where we're, you know, that's right. Where we're headed, and that doesn't change. I'm looking forward to whenever we get the opportunity to go to work, and we've got to be the best football staff and installation and teaching our guys and getting them up and running quicker and better than any other staff in the National Football League, and that's going to be important. So that's quite a challenge on us. And I'm excited about that. So we've got to be great teachers. We've got to do a great job of installing the things based on our time frame of where we are, what we have to do, who we're doing it with. And I think that's going to be very, very important. So that's what we're doing right now. We're spending a lot of time making sure that we're going to be real efficient and tight in those areas so that as soon as we get this opportunity to go forward with players, that we're able to do that in the best of our abilities.
And Coach, one, if you could, a message to the fans. I know that you know they're obviously very interested. We had thousands of fans join us in this fan forum, little conference call here with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and yourself. What's your message to the fans at this point in time?
Well, get taped up, get strapped up, get ready to go. We're about to have a lot of fun. And it's going to be an exciting season. It's going to have a new look to the Cincinnati Bengals, and it's one that I think the fans are going to have are really going to enjoy. And, you know, I'm pleased with our progress thus far. I'm anxious for the next opportunities we have to continue to progress. I know during the brief period where we could visit with our football team, they were very excited about moving forward. And I think they've done a good job of themselves understanding what's ahead of us, knowing how important it is and how what lies ahead, how important each and every one of these opportunities we have to play are, and how important the preparation and what it takes to move forward.
Coach, really appreciate your time very much. Thanks for carving out some of your day to be with us and all the loyal season ticket holders here with the Cincinnati Bengals. And thank you on behalf of the Cincinnati Bengals to Coach Marvin Lewis and to all you season ticket holders out there. Thank you for joining us on this Fan Forum conference call. Hopefully you enjoyed this unique experience to catch up with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis. That doesn't happen every day, believe me. And if you want to participate, we encourage you to do so, please. Our poll is, how would you grade this year's Cincinnati Bengals draft? If the answer is a grade for an A, hit 1. If it's a B, press 2. If it's a C, press 3. And once again, thanks to everybody.
All right, Dave. Thanks. Thanks, fans, for coming in today and getting on the line. Very good.
All righty. And we want to remind participants that joined us here today, you can you can have a post-event comment at the end of the call. Simply stay on the line and you transfer it to a voicemail. You can leave your comments and feedback, and everybody in the organization with the Cincinnati Bengals would obviously love to have your input. And if you had a question that wasn't asked, you can go ahead and leave that question, and we'll get an answer for you in some way, shape, or form here in the Cincinnati Bengals organization. Once again, we appreciate everybody for your interest, and hoo day.